This past week, we had the privilege of being able to minister in another part of the world to people who are looking for an answer, looking for the goodness of God, looking to encounter Christ in a way that would change their life forever. And this past week, a team of 50 people from four different churches ministered to 3,825 people in the span of a number of days. In that same moment, 121 of those 3,000 plus gave their heart to Christ. And so when you think about that, we could praise God for His great hand in our lives. I have no doubt that it was in His goodness that He opened the door for us to impact those lives. And I want to snapshot for you just a few moments that really stood out to me, because today I want us to look at Psalm 31. If you have your Bible, be turning there. And as you're turning there, it's a place where David obviously was in anguish over what it is that he had encountered in life. In fact, many believe that this is when David was at a low point with Absalom, and he realized that everything could not be any worse than it was. And then all of a sudden, he begins to see God in a different way. And what I want you to see today is this. It may be that you've seen God in a certain reflection, and then all of a sudden, you begin to see Him in a different way, and God begins to use that to change how you look at life. Well, that's exactly what happened to David when he reflects in this 31st Psalm. So while we were gone, we had the privilege of being able, obviously, to minister to lots of people, encounter a lot of people that when you hear their story, you realize how difficult and challenging it is. But on Thursday of the previous week, we had the privilege of being able to be at a placement center, an orphanage for children with special need. And these kids have basically been disowned by family, set aside by society, disconnected from their culture, displaced from any future. And so for them, it seems as though it's a hopeless situation. But in the midst of that, when people come who encourage them, who love them, who bless them, something begins to happen. And while there, two dramatic, significant things happened that touched my heart. One of them involved one of our teenagers who was ministering to a girl, being a blessing to her, and in the midst of interacting with her, the girl got a phone call from her mother, and her sister had been murdered by her father. And you can imagine for Amari, who's hearing all this, she went on a mission trip realizing there'd be a lot of joy, but maybe not realizing there'd also be sorrow. And the little girl who had been killed had given one of her kidneys. I want you to think about goodness. The girl who had been killed, who did not suffer anything emotionally or mentally, I'm talking about as far as her, she was whole and she'd not faced anything as far as being placed in a center. She gave her kidney for her sister, who would never be able to comprehend everything that transpired, because she loved her sister so much. She wanted her sister to live, not knowing that her own life would be taken by her own father in a drunken rage. And as I looked at this girl and I looked at the tears coming down Amari's face, and I looked at the moment of how God's goodness let us be there at that place, at that moment, to be able to encourage this girl and to be a blessing to her. You see, even in the midst of great heartache, goodness can arrive. Well, then as we walked around, I began to see other stories. Sitting on a little chair was a little boy whose heart had stopped just a few weeks ago, had stopped beating completely. And they thought of declaring him dead, but they revived him. And they revived him, and it's interesting because a mission team from England had been on mission in Romania at that time, and when they found out about the little boy, they said, bring him to us, we'll fix his heart. We'll fix his heart. And so they not only revived him, they got him to a medical team who fixed his heart, and as they fixed his heart, you can imagine, I walked up to see this little boy, and all the workers there said, look at this, and they showed me the scar where he'd been cut open, how they had to open him up completely to fix him and help him. And some of our members on the team were so moved by this little boy and wanted to be a blessing to him. And so I'll never forget this moment, because before we left, I went and I knelt down by this little boy. His name is Johnny. And I said, God, I want you to help Johnny. I want you to help him have a good life. I want you to watch over him. I want you to bless him. I want you to take care of him. And when I finished, I will never forget the words echoed from this little boy's mouth. Out of his mouth came these words: it's my prayer that all of you will be blessed. And I thought, how does an eight-year-old whose heart has stopped, whose life is stifled, who's overwhelmed by situation, how does that much goodness come out of the mouth of a child? Well, it tells you something. Our perspective on how we go at things. We either go at it in His goodness or we go at it grumbling. We either go at it overwhelmed by our circumstances or convinced that His best is yet to come. And I think that's why David records in Psalm 31 these amazing verses. Today, let me say this to you. You want a textbook to teach you how to deal with the things you face that are bigger than you are? Psalm 31 is exactly the text you want to look at. So today, I want you to think about it in your own life. Which, by the way, I could illustrate hundreds of illustrations. The truth of the matter is, they all come back to His goodness. It all comes back to touching in the hearts and lives of those who are in need, because that's what His goodness does. It meets us where we are. And I'll show you that very vividly today through a number of texts, but I want you to listen to me carefully as we look at this. So I want to ask you a question when it comes to you. When you think of goodness, what comes to mind? When you think of goodness, what hits you the most? And you may be sitting going, I think the goodness of this or goodness of that. But what happens is whatever comes to mind is how you link yourself to that concept. So if you start looking at goodness the right way, you bless the Lord. You bless Him, because it's interesting. Remember what we said about what a blessing is? A blessing is when gratitude and love collide together to create a blessing. So if we're grateful for what we're facing and we love God enough to trust Him, then we see Him in His goodness, something really amazing and powerful. So in Psalm 31, look at verse 19, if you would, just for a moment, because I want you to see this is the anchor of everything we look at today. Verse 19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Now, oftentimes you'll hear me talk about fear in the negative tense where it gets the best of you. Here, David says, the person who encounters goodness knows how to reverence who he is. That's what it means to fear Him and be able to take refuge in Him. In other words, you find yourself in a great place that protects you from anything it is else you're facing in life. So imagine, this verse says it so powerfully, how great is your goodness. Don't you love that thought? God is good. He's good all the time. He works in our lives in a great way. We just have to be willing to go, you know what? That's what I want. That's what I want to experience. So goodness is an amazing and powerful quality, because there's a principle here that I don't want you to miss. And this principle may help you as you face things in life, because His goodness that we encounter allows us to experience the most challenging circumstances that we ever face, knowing that His love will supersede our trials. When you get there, here's what happened. You start going, you know what? That's coming at me. It's not going to get the best of me. That's coming my way. That's not going to get the best of me. And you start believing and trusting and knowing that God's with you. He's watching over you. He has something for you. You see, you can't forget little Johnny praying and asking God to bless you, because you see His goodness in that. You can't forget Amari's tears for a little girl who can't even comprehend death. I saw her 2 days later. Her capacity to comprehend death was not there. But for Amari, it was, because she could see out of that experience how to love and minister and care when someone hurts deeply, even though they don't understand the depth of their hurt. So today, think about your own life. Think about circumstances you face, things that you encounter, and ask yourself a question. How am I going to respond in light of His goodness? Because if you respond the right way, something begins to happen inside of you. You get inspired and something begins to go inside of your heart. And you go, wow, you know what? He is good. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. It will take some of your experiences that normally would cause you to have a negative reaction and cause you to be very positive. It'll cause you not to get overwhelmed if your food is 3 minutes late at a restaurant, because His goodness is before that. It'll cause you not to get flustered by different things. Doris back here was telling me this morning about Yellow Jackets attacking her. And they've been attacking their family at their house. They took up residence in their home. They were uninvited guests to their house, but they sting in a way to remind you they're there, they're present. And as they were telling me the story before church, I got to thinking about how many things in life sting us that we didn't invite either. Maybe trials, maybe difficulties, maybe heartache, maybe somebody else is causing us heartache and difficulty, and we go, wow, why am I having to face it? And so David, he finds himself in a place. I want you to think about this for a second. How could David deal with the anguish and the anxiety and the pain of his own son starting? And it's interesting what Absalom did. Absalom did not come at him full frontal. Absalom started whispering about him. And the rumors began to float everywhere. And that's why he recorded these words. Look at verse 1, Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Never, let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. And if you stop there, you realize something. Jesus quotes that in Luke 23. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness because you have seen my affliction. Watch it. You have known the troubles of my soul. You have not given me over in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief. My soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel against me, they schemed to take away my life. And then we get to verse 14. And when you get to verse 14, it sets in motion the three life lessons I want to show you today that you think about regarding how you live your life. Look at you at verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. In other words, he said, you know what? Shut them down any way you can. Take this away from me. All right? So watch this. Because all of a sudden, he shifts his focus. He, in the first 13 verses, he basically lays out, my life is the pits. I don't have anything to hang on to. I have nowhere to turn, no step to take. And I need so much to know that God has a plan for me. And what I want you to see today, the first thing is very, very essential. And that is, you have to trust him because your life is in his hand. Don't you love that thought? That your life is in his hand. Yesterday, I had the privilege of having our grandson over for a little while. And we were outside. And I love doing this, even though it's not necessary. But I like to do it anyway. We're walking in the grass by my house, or by our house, and I said to him, Levi, let's hold hand. And he reaches his hand up to me, and he holds my hand. And every time he does that, I have the greatest thrill of the goodness of God. Because that little guy, and he looks up at me, like, you're not sure why I want to hold his hand, but confident there's a reason. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you start trusting the Lord, and you start letting him know that your life is in his hand, here's what happened to you. You don't get caught up with so much to get in your way. And that's what David does. In verses 14 through 17, he identifies why he doesn't want to get caught up in things that don't matter. Things that don't matter because the reality is life is too short. We need to look and say, you know what? I'm going to bless him for his goodness. I want to bless him because my life is in his hand. Three things I want you to see. First of all, he's a God who knows our lives. I mean, when you look at verse 15, my times are in your hand. He knows our lives. Not only that, though, he's a God who loves us beyond comprehension. What does David come back to in verse 16? Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. You see, what happens is all of a sudden, David saw something. That if I knew I could trust him and my life was in his hand, I didn't have to get caught up by things. I didn't get overwhelmed by things. I didn't let anxiety rule in my life. And I'm going to tell you what you discovered about goodness. I was thinking about this last night. Because goodness does something inside of our lives. The first thing is, it's the answer to every aspect of anxiety we ever face. Because I'm going to tell you, when you see him as good, you don't get anxious about things coming at you. When you just stop and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. It's an answer to our anxiety. The second thing is, it gives us the privilege of being able to confirm his presence in our life. Because when I see God as good, I know he's at work. I know he's doing something amazing. I know he's working. And it confirms his presence. A third thing you see when you encounter his goodness that hit me last night is it affirms our hope. Our hope rests not in ourselves, but in God. And we start going, wait a minute, I can trust him to watch over me. And that affirmation begins to guide me through everything. And finally, it anchors our hearts in his love. I mean, when you experience his goodness the way he intended, you know your life is in his hand, and you start saying, you know what, I can trust you no matter what. I know your goodness will watch over me. I know your goodness will guide me. So imagine for a moment today, you think about your own life, say, wait a minute now. So my life is, he knows everything about my life. He loves me beyond any comprehension. It has the power to change how I live my life. It's the third thing I want you to see. And it's this. When you look at verse 17, look at it with me. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Here's what I want you to see. He is a God who deals with our enemies. And you see what happens? Oftentimes we believe that we're supposed to do this. And while I was in Romania, one of the interesting things that happened was that some kids started stealing from other kids' room. And one girl's room got completely ransacked. They stole everything she owned, every piece of technology. They stole every piece of nice clothes. And it's interesting because other kids were wearing her clothes while I was there. And so she asked me, what do I do? I said, well, you need to learn how to forgive. You need to learn how to care. She said, no, I don't. I'm not forgiving. I have no intent to forgive. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut all their hair. And I didn't know this, by the way. But in their culture, if a girl has long hair and she steals, they cut their hair. So I saw one girl, her hair was really short. I thought she must have stole a lot, you know, while I was there, before I got there. And I looked at the girl who had gone on, because the girl told me, said, I got a knife, I'm gonna cut. Well, my first thought, she's gonna kill somebody. I said, you can't take a knife, you can't take it and kill somebody. You can't do, oh no, I'm gonna kill them, cut their hair. And I saw some girls walking around, their hair was not very cut straight either. You know, I thought, man, pay for them to go to the beauty parlor. But the truth is, they had stolen. And what I tried to help this young lady realize is, you can hang on to a lot of stuff, but the only thing that you need to hang on to that matters the most is the goodness of God, that He loves you, He cares for you, and He has a plan for your life. That's what helps you see life the way God intended. And you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to take care of all her enemy. She wanted to take care of all her enemy. One boy had broken in her room the next day, and they learned how, by the way, to pop. I don't know how you do this. They learned how to pop a door open by using a certain point of pressure, and they could pop the door and then get into any room. And so the next day, a boy popped in her room to steal her stuff. And so she went to him and said, you know what? I'm going to call the police. And it's interesting what he said. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not 18 yet. I won't have any problem at all. So they called the police, filled out a report, and nothing happened. And she said to me, you realize what you told me I had to be nice, be good. Look what they do. They steal my stuff. And I said, but the truth is, it's stuff. And those things don't matter compared to you understanding God loves you. And why don't you think about today is this. What happens if a situation pops the door of your life open when you didn't expect it? And somebody steals something from you. Steals your joy, steals your purity, steals your purpose, steals your objective in life, steals your job. Steals your job. And because they lie or do something else to manipulate that circumstance. You see what happens? Oftentimes we don't realize that our life is in His hand. And the truth of the matter is, nobody can take away what it is God has for you. You just have to be willing to trust Him in the midst of it. Second thing I want you to see, look on. Because beginning in verse 18, it's where he begins to come back to this idea of goodness. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. What you discover here is that if you are going to live in His goodness, you have to stand in the midst of His goodness. In other words, you just start saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in the midst of this goodness. I'm going to stand right here in the middle of it, and I'm going to experience it the way that you intended. And so you're standing there in it, and you're going, you know what? This is awesome. He's good to me in the midst of my difficulty. He's good to me in the midst of my trial. He's good to me in the midst of my heartache. And you start standing in that goodness, and what he says here so clearly is, the goodness is great. Now look, if you would, turn back in your Bible. I want to show you one text that really will stand out to you. Exodus chapter 33. So just hang a left to Exodus, and I want you to see something, because I want you to see what happened when Moses encounters God. Exodus 33. Hang a left, and you, before you get to the end of the Bible, it's right there looking at you. Exodus 33. Beginning, if you would, in verse 18. All right? If you're in Exodus 33, say amen. All right, if you have no idea where Exodus is, don't worry about it. I'm going to read it to you anyway, okay? Exodus 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, I pray you show me your glory. And listen to what God says, verse 19. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious and to will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, verse 20, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock in a cleft of that rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take my hand away and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. I want you to get this in your mind for a second. All right? Here's Moses. Here's what Moses said. Moses says, you know what I want? I want to see your glory. I want to see what is amazing and glorifying. And what does God say? Oh, no, no. I want you to see my goodness come by. I want my goodness to come by your life and show you something about how good I am. So what does he say? I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to put my hand over your face. And I'm going to cover your eyes. But when I pass by, then you can look and see my back. And here's what I want you to see about life. Sometimes, maybe he does cover our eyes where we can't see what it is we'd like to see. But his goodness is still good. And his grace is still amazing. And what I want you to imagine today is you think about your own journey of faith. What happens if all of a sudden he comes by and shows you his goodness? I'm going to tell you what he showed 50 people last week. God is good. God is good. He touches the hearts of people everywhere, all over the world, here, there, and everywhere. Because the reality is that's just an expression. One mission trip is just an expression of what we want to see God do every single Sunday here and every other place we go. But his goodness passes by. And I want you to imagine for a moment that all of a sudden you're sitting here, all of a sudden you hear something in your own heart that his goodness wants to come your way, wants to change you, wants to speak to your heart. And what I love about this text is this. David makes it clear that God has stored up so much goodness for his life that it became really the focal point of his life, because you realize in part of this Psalm 31, he talks about his own mistakes. Some of the things he had done that were not worthy of his calling, and as a result, he talked about his iniquity, his sin, things that kept him away from God's best. But what I want you to see today is this. When you stand in the midst of his goodness, things begin to happen. The first thing is this. Look at verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you, which you have stored up, okay? And what he says here is very clear. He's got a plan for us. We just have to reverence him enough to be able to experience what he intends. In other words, we have to see him in the right light. Because if we see him as working in our life, something begins to change everything. But here's what I want you to see. There's a reservation required for a person to experience his goodness. You have to be able to go, wait a minute now. I want to experience his goodness. I want that to be what I want in life. I want to encounter it in a way, in a new and a special way. Same thing happened to me when I returned home this weekend. One of the things, the most amazing things happened to me, there's a child I've been praying for since she was 4 years old. And when I got home, I got a message from her, and it said this: I have no idea where to read in the Bible, but if you will guide me, I'll start reading it. That is the goodness of God at work in people's lives. And what I want you to think about today is this. You look at your own life. What kind of reservation do you have? I mean, do you wake up in reverence to him? Do you wake up saying, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to guide me. I want you to bless me. There's a reservation required. You just have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to take that step. Second thing, look if you would. Look on in verse 19, latter part of it. Which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you. Now, I want you to think of this for a second. He shapes this. He shapes things together so it allows us to take refuge in it. And my wife was telling me this while I was gone. One day they had a swimming party with grandkids and stuff like that. And I got to watch some of the video and stuff like that. But they had some thunder and lightning that came up while they were there. And they got on the picnic table, got under things, you know, away from the storm. And as she was telling me that, I was thinking, you know what David did? There were times he had to take refuge, man, and take refuge from the storm. And go, you know what? I'm going to hide myself here. I'm going to wait till this all passes by. Imagine what would happen if you all of a sudden realized you had a place you could go. Which what you're going to see in this text, he does have this very amazing place that God has reserved for every one of us who trust in him. Look at it, man, if you would. Notice, if you would. Verse 20. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. What does he say? There are two things that happen to you. Men conspire against us, and people talk about us. And what he says here is you and I have a secret place which is perfect protection from anything we face in life. Perfect protection. And what I want you to imagine today is this. You're sitting in church and you start thinking, wait a minute now. So my life is in his hand, and I have to be willing to look at where I'm at regarding his goodness and put my life right in the middle of his goodness? Yes, because when you bless him in his goodness, something happens very powerful, very amazing. All right, so think about this. As he begins to reflect, he begins to see something. God is good, much better than he thought he was. God is good to him all the time. Which, by the way, if you want to do a great study, if you study in the psalm, David comes back over and over and over and over and over to his goodness. The goodness of God. Psalm 84:11, Psalm 21, different places you can just find yourself looking at it and seeing it. Psalm 65, verse 4, all those verses all come back to David's personal reflection on how good God is. All right, so as we think about that, then we get into verse 21. I want you to look at this with me, because beyond your secret place, you have to live in life. I mean, wouldn't you love to be able to go, you know what, nothing's going to bother me, because I'm going to hide from everybody. That's not what David was saying. David was saying, I go to my secret place to find the strength to be able to bring before him the supplications of my heart. Look at me, if you would, because it's here that you come to realize the most important lesson you could ever find in regarding God's goodness. You have to remember, nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Whatever it is you're encountering, it is not a surprise to him. And that's exactly what he does. Look, if you would, verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in the besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, which tells you, note that verse, because here's what he's saying. Something caught him off guard. And what I want to remind you about in life is this. Sometimes things come at us we didn't expect. And that getting caught off guard, if we're not careful, our response will be in our flesh, not in our spirit. And we'll react in a way that's not becoming of who God intended for us to be. Look on. I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. So what does he get across to us here? He says, in my alarm, I was alarmed by what transpired. And here's what I want you to get in mind about how you live your life. If we're not careful, our perception will become our reality. In other words, we'll face things in life, go, you know what, I don't think God's with me. He's not watching over me. He's not taking care of me. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, it becomes our reality. How often, watch this, if you doubt, you do without. If you are consumed by fear, you miss what faith can do. If you're overwhelmed by anxiety, you find no answer to face the things you need to face. If you find yourself confronted by challenges and you don't know who it is that walks beside you, who brings you into the secret place to help you in the midst of that challenge, what happened to you? You lose sight of what it is he wants to do in you. So think for a moment about what happens if all of a sudden your perception is not his reality. What if he really has something more in store for you than you ever imagined? I can remember this as a kid, as a teenager. It's very interesting because I got a message from one of my sister-in-laws from my brother's marriage many, many years ago. Anyway, I got a message yesterday from her saying, would you please pray for our church? It's dying and it has lots of problems and things. And so as she said that, I began to think about the church that she was reflecting on, because it was a church that when I was a teenager, I attended. And I have to be honest and say, you know, I didn't really go there to learn a lot. I went there because lots of my friends went there, and so I found myself engaged in the experience, and then all of a sudden, he became more real to me. But I can remember my perception was I was birthed into a family with an alcoholic dad, with a broken relationship, with a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulty, and out of that, my perception was he could never do anything big in my heart and life. But then all of a sudden, I realized that was not his reality. And I can tell you, whenever I land anywhere in the world, whenever I minister right here in this town, whenever I walk into my office, the reality I always face is this. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He's always adequate to whatever it is you'll face in life. So be careful, be careful. You may be sitting there going, you know what? This God thing is just not, I don't have, my perception is not correct about who he is. Be careful, because here's what I want you to see. When your reality is disconnected from what he wants to do, then you lose sight of his goodness. And what I want you to imagine today is you want to make sure you keep yourself anchored in that. So look on. Notice what he says in verse 22. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication. I want you to stop there and think about this for a second. Because when you face something really big, it's there you yield yourself to Him and you begin to cry out to Him. And what Dave was saying was, when I was in that secret place, I started telling God what I really faced, what I was really dealing with, the pain I really encountered. And what happens is when you start admitting by truth what it is God wants to do in you, something happens inside your life and changes who you are. And all of a sudden, David makes this reflection. He says, wait a minute now. So I need to bring this before Him. And then he says in verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all you His godly ones. Why does he talk about love so much in this text? Because what love is, love is the anchor point that takes you to goodness. You know your love, man, you feel good about it. I mean, I'm blessed and privileged to be loved by somebody for a long, long time, and that blesses me. And when I got home, I mean, I walked into my house, and I saw my wife had fixed iced tea. I hadn't had any in 2 weeks. I was so thankful. My wife had fruit in the refrigerator. I like fruit. I was so thankful. And I was going through all these things. I thought, man, she loves me. She got a lot of stuff. And then yesterday, she fixed me all these wonderful vegetables that she had bought it on one of the stands where they have it. It was fresh vegetables. I thought, man, she loves me. And what happens is, I'm going to tell you what you discover. Sometime, God wants you to stop by His stand. It's a stand of goodness. It's a stand of goodness. And what you learn there is this. His love, and our love colliding together open up our future. Because He makes it clear here in verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. What a great promise. Be strong, take courage. And today, and maybe you're here today and you realize, man, I need to encounter His goodness in a new way. I need to encounter what it is He wants to do. I want to encounter how He wants to work. I want to encounter what He wants to accomplish in my life. And maybe you're here and you go, you know what? He never hears my prayer. I pray my prayers. He doesn't hear them. The truth of the matter is, He hears every word you ever utter. And sometimes He takes you to a secret place where He can even hear you more clearly. So today, I want to ask you a question. Will you live in His goodness, or will you grumble your way through life? Because if you bless Him in His goodness, something happens that's really amazing. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for the opportunity to be outside Your Word today. Lord, I think about this day. This is the day You've made. We rejoice in Your goodness. We rejoice in how You work in each one of our hearts and lives. And Lord, we know this, that when You pass by Moses, You wanted him to see Your goodness. And Lord, that's what we want to see. And it may be that there's someone here, Lord, who wants to encounter Your goodness in a new way. Maybe they want to take a step towards You. And when they do, Your goodness will be overwhelming. Lord, bless anyone who needs to respond to You. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.